Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, about 15 lines down at the two dots, quoting the Mishnah. Shilaim, Velei Ratzli Shava, etc. So it seems like from the Mishnah, this person has the ability to, if it says if he pays and doesn't want to swear, etc. Amar Rav Chiya bar Aban Rabbi Yochanan, I circled Rabbi Yochanan. Loi, when the Mishnah says that he pays, lo, one word in right angles, shilaim, don't understand that as shilaim mamish, like if it was $500, he took out $500 and gave it to him, ella, rather, kavan she'amar. Once he merely said, and I put an arrow in the margin pointing down, we're going to refer back to this, but once he said, hareini mishalom, you know what, I'm going to pay, afal bishaloi shilaim, even if he didn't actually pay yet, that's enough that he then is able to acquire the rights to the kefel or the 4 or 5. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. The thing is, though, let's go back to the Mishnah and see what the Mishnah seems to indicate from diukim of it. So we quote now the Mishnah, 4 words. It's not shilim v'lo rotz ali shava. The Mishnah said he paid, didn't want to swear. Sounds very clear from the Mishnah, shilem in, he actually paid. That's when we say that he then gets those rights to the kefil of the 4 or 5 payment, lo shilem, but if he didn't actually pay, lo, he would not. That would be a question on Rabbi Yochanan. The thing is, though, if you keep reading in the Mishnah, ema seifa, here's another 4 words a little bit later in the Mishnah when it said that, when is it that he does not get the potential kefil or 4 or 5 payment? That was 4 words in right angles. Nishba, if he swore, v'loi rotz al yishalim, he did not want to pay. Okay, let's be medayik from that. Taima, the reason there is, v'loi rotz, he didn't want to pay, so I'm not paying. Ha, rotz, let's say he did want to pay, afal pi shaloi shilim, even if he hadn't actually coughed up the money yet, then that would be great for Rabbi Yochanan. Ela miha lekala mashmina. Rather, from here, meaning from these two parts of the Mishnah, which seem to, if you're medayik off one part, you get one conclusion, another part, you get another conclusion, you can't really conclude anything, either as a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan or a support of Rabbi Yochanan. Kama. Tanya kavas Rabbi Yochanan, and now we actually bring a brisa, which would be quite a support for Rabbi Yochanan. Brisa goes for maybe a little bit more than 2.5 lines. And it says as follows. Hasaycher par michaveroi. If I rented my friend's cow, vinignava, and it was stolen. Okay. Now, even though a socher is chayev for gneva veda, if you wanted to lie and swear that, you know, it was like forced away from him, he couldn't do anything, he actually becomes putter in that shvua. Therefore, if he says that it was stolen, he's basically making himself responsible for paying for the karen. So what happens over here? Hasaycher par michavera v'nignava. Ve'amar, I double underline the word amar, and we're going to refer back to this amar a little bit later, and he says, ve'amar ha'la hareini mishalem. Ve'eni nishba, he says I'm gonna pay, and not swear. The achrak nimsa ganav. Then it turns out the ganav is found, in which case he's gonna be paying double, Mr. Ganav. But to who? Mishalom tashume kefel, to the seicher himself. And that's just like Rabbi Yochanan, that he doesn't actually have to pay, just this enough to agree to pay for him to get the kefel rights. I'm Rav Papa. I circled Rav Papa and put a number 1 in the margin. This is gonna be lashon 1 of Rav Papa, and about 8-9 lines down, first word on the line is da'amri, the third and fourth word of Rav Papa. I circled Rav Papa again and put number 2 in circles. We're going to have 2 lashonis of what Rav Papa said. In the first lashon, we know there's 4 different types of people who might be using or watching somebody else's thing. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar, a shoyel, and a soicher, and different levels of responsibility each one has. Now, if says Rav Papa, you have a shomer chinam, I underline shomer chinam. Kevan sha'amar, if he says, pashati, I was totally negligent, which is essentially saying I was negligent, therefore I have to compensate you, because the item is no longer here. Makna le kfeila, in that case, we assume that if it was stolen and the ganav is then found, the double payment will go to the Shomer. Why? Because he was willing to pay. Pashati is, I was pushy, I never have to pay. Because could he have gotten himself off the hook if he wanted to lie with another claim? Sure, to Iboy Patrinavshi, he could have said it was just stolen. And he didn't say that. He said something which was b'chai of him to pay, and that's also going to be good enough that should it have been that it was stolen, that he would be able to get the kefo. Comma. Shomer Sachar, I underline Shomer Sachar, if you have somebody who is watching an item for pay, Kevan Shamar Nignava, if he says, listen, it was stolen, in which case he has to compensate the rightful owner for it. Machten Lake Fela, the rightful owner, if it turns out it really was stolen and the Ganav comes and pays a Kefel, the rightful owner is Machna, that Kefel payment to the Shomer Sachar, to Iboi, because the Shomer Sachar, if he wanted to lie, could easily have gotten off the hook to Iboi Patr Navshe be Shavuru Mesa. That you know where the thing is, it broke or it died, and he wouldn't be responsible to compensate for that. Now, Shoyel, the general relationship between a person who has an item and a Shoel, somebody who borrows that item, the one who borrows it, the Shoel, he's getting all the benefit. He's not even paying for it. A Shoel, Sha'amar, I dot underline Sha'amar, if he says, Hareini Mishalem, you know what, I'm going to pay. Now, normally up until now we've said that saying it is good enough. Here, though, Lo Machni Le Kfela. I double underline the low. The rightful owner is not transferring the potential double payment to him. Why? Because he really didn't have anything else to say. What would the show be able to say to get him off the hook? But my hobby the miftar nafshe if he wanted to say lie and say something that wasn't true. But maybe some machmas melacha, would he reasonably be able to come with a claim? Oh, you know what? It just dropped dead. Well, Meisim Achmas Malacha, Lo Shriach. Meisim Achmas Malacha is very uncommon, and we do not say that if you wanted to, you could make this claim. Yeah, if you wanted to, you could have said, oh, you know, guess what? It was struck by lightning, and then aliens came down and took it away. Because that's so unusual that a person wouldn't claim that, or we couldn't say that a person could claim it, because it's just very unusual. Kama Ikadamri, here's the second Lashon Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa. It's really the same as the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar. It's just when it comes to the Shoel in this second Lashon Rav Papa, Shoel Nami, even a Shoel. Kevan Sha'amar, once he said, I dot underline Sha'amar, if he just said, Harini Mishalim, you know what I'm going to pay, even though if he hasn't yet paid yet, Machni Le Kfela, the owner of the item will have given over the potential for the double payment to go to him, to go to the Shoel, De'i Boy Patr Nafshe, because you know what? If he wanted to, he could get himself off the hook by saying, Meisim Achmas Malacha, and he didn't say that, and therefore by saying that he will pay, that's tantamount to him paying. Amar Le Rav Zvid, I noted Rav Zvid, and I guess Rav Zvid is speaking to her papa, Hachi Amar Abaye, you know what Abaye said, says Rav Zvid, Shoyel Adshi Yishalem. The Shoyel is not going to acquire those possible kefel rights until he actually pays. Now, my taima, what's the reason? Well, here's why. Hoyel V'chol Hana Shaloi. A Shoyel, by definition, gets all the benefit. He's not paying for the item in question. He's totally using it, doesn't have to pay anything. Comma connector, and therefore bidibura, the mere saying, yeah, you know what, I will pay for it. Lo makni le kfela. The rightful owner is not transferring the potential ability to collect the kefel because of that. Okay, and that's Rav Zvid. Now, Tanya, the Gemara notes, Tanya kavasad Rav Zvid. We have a brisa that seems to support Rav Zvid. Here is the brisa, goes for two lines plus two words and starts here. Hashoyel para michave, right? I squeal underline hashoyel. If somebody borrows a cow from his friend, now again, the borrower has all the benefit. He gets to use it, doesn't have to pay. The nignava, and then it was stolen. And I underlined here the word vekidem, vekidem hashoyel vishilim, and double underline the shilim. And here, he paid up right away. He actually did, it sounds vekidem, and he paid. The achachdim saganav, and then it turns out that the thief is found. Mishalem, who does the thief's kefel payment go to? Mishalem tashlumi kefel, to the shoyel. Okay, and that's very much like Rav Zvid, namely that he actually has to pay it, not just say that he'll pay it. Okay, now this Tanaic source, which was a support for Rav Zvid, what do we do with it in light of Rav Papa, the first Lashon and the second Lashon? So, Lelishna Kamad Rav Papa, according to the first Lashon Rav Papa, Vadai Lo Havya Tiyuvta. It's not tzivta, because according to the Lishna Kama of Rav Papa, a shoel who just says that he's going to pay not makniv the kefil. And that's very much like this brisa, which sounded like he actually has to pay it. However, the Lishna Basra, the second Lashon of Rav Papa that said even a shoel who merely says he's going to pay gets those kefil rights. Lishna Basra, should we say this is tziyuvta? Because it sounds very much in the brice we just quoted two, 3 lines ago, that he actually has to pay it. So would we say that it would refute the second Lashon of Rav Papa? Well, Amar Lach Rav Papa, Rav Papa would tell you to defend his second Lashon. Is this Tanaic source, mi alima, is it like any stronger that question on me, mi masnisen, than our Mishnah itself that we had the other day? Dikatani, what did the Mishnah say? Shilem, I put that in right angles, he paid, and we already said, ve'ukimna be amar, and I put the corresponding arrow up over here, that's a case of where he had said it. Hachanami, so too in this Brisa, it's ba'amar. Even though it said he paid, it means he said he was going to pay. The Gemara says, 1 second here, me dummy. You can't really compare the shilim term that was in our Mishnah to the shilim term that's in the Brisa 5 lines ago. Hasam lo ketani, it didn't say in the Mishnah, and this word we underlined in our Brisa about 6 lines ago, kidem hashoyel v'shilim. Whereas hacha, over here, it does say kidem, and that very much sounds like he has to actually have paid it. Well, the Gemara says, maybe yeah, but maybe not. What is the kidem that he went before and did? What's the kidem? My kidem? Kidem v'amar. He preceded everything and said that he was going to pay. Okay. The problem with that is, the Tanaic source we had about 5 lines ago by a shoel, and the Tanaic source that we had about 20 lines ago by the Seicher, Ha midiketani gabe soicher. If you look up the Tanaic source we had about 18, 19 lines ago, was by a soicher. And there, let's read the first line again. Ha soicher parmicha veroi venignava. The Amar said Ba'amar. So, ha midiketani gabe soicher, since said by the soicher Ba'amar. And now we go to the Tanaic source that's like 5, 6 lines ago, and by a shoyel. Didn't say Ba'amar, it said kidem. Shmamina, it must very well be. The fact that we're using different words is very precise. Dafka ketani, which sounds like the Tanaic source about 6 lines ago, 7 lines ago, he actually had to have paid. Okay, now that's assuming that both those Tanaic sources came from the same school of Tanaic sources. But they're both brises, and therefore if you're going to compare and contrast them, midi gabi hadadi tanya, do we know, like for a fact, do we have any indication that they were taught like with each other, next to each other, parallel to each other, you can compare and contrast, be so medayik off of them? Who says? Maybe not. However, and this is an interesting, the Gemara usually doesn't do this, but they went back and checked, Shailinu Litanoi Debe Rebchia, Udebe Revoishia, the Brisa Seirovers, the expert learners in the base measures. Now, Rebchia and Revoishia were the two main promulgators of Brises. You have the Brisa of Rebchia, the Brisa of Revoishia. Those are the most meduyak Brises. They checked with them, the Amri, and as far as they are concerned, they said, oh yeah, Gabi Hadadi Tanyan, that they were taught one rex to another. In other words, they were from the same school of Brises, and therefore, Lashon number 2 of Rav Papa is refuted. Period. The Gemara now is going to, coming off of the case we had, present us with 11 or 12 different questions of similar cases. Other than the first, they're all going to be questions, and I hate to ruin it, but we're going to end with a big teiku. So here we go. Pshita connector, case number 1, and we'll number each one as we go through it. So the first case, Amar, let's say the guy says, Eini Mishalom, I'm not paying. However, V'chaz of Amar, he then later says, Hareini Mishalom, you know what, I'm going to pay. How do we view that? Even if if he pays, fine. But let's say he didn't yet pay, but he said he was going to pay. But before that, he said he wasn't going to pay. Well, Hakamar in Mishalim, we view the second statement as being significant, self-binding, and therefore, even though he only said he's going to pay, we trust that he's going to pay. It's like he did pay. Comma, case 2. How about this, though? Ela Amar, if he starts off by saying, Harein Mishalim, you know what I'm going to pay. The Chazav Amar, he then, shortly afterwards, says, Eino Mishalim, Eini Mishalim, I'm not going to pay. My, how do we look at that, colon? Mi'ar, when do we say that when he says he's not going to, as his second statement, Mahadja Kahadra, he's basically backing out. Odilma, or no, he's not backing out. The Milsei Kai, he still is going to pay. and that which he says is not going to, well, dechuyuhu dekamadchile. We've had this numerous times that when people actually have to pay up, sometimes they'll say, not going to, because you don't have the money right now, and then we get the money, he will pay. So how do you look at that? Well, no answer, and question number three. How about this? Amar Hareini Mishalim. He says, you know what I'm going to pay, which we said up until now means that that's good, and he gets a kefel. And then Mace, he drops dead. Va'amru Bonav, and the sons who inherited the person who died, in other words, the Shomer's sons, the Shomer died, they say, ain't on a Mishalman. You know what? We ain't going to pay. My, how do we look at that? Colon. Mi Amrinan, do we say? Mahadr Kahadr Behu. Well, they're backing out. They said they're not going to pay. Or maybe not. Odilma, Bemilsa Da'avuhoin Kaimi. When they said they're not going to pay, it's similar to when the father would have said, yeah, I'm going to pay, and they're not going to pay. Why would he say he's not going to pay if he said he was going to pay? Because he's trying to slide out of the responsibility for the time being because cash is tight. Holds so over here. We're really going to pay. If their father said he's going to pay, they're going to pay. They're kind of short on cash right now. Number four. Let's say Shalmu Bonim Mai. Let's say the sons, because the father died, let's say they do pay. Where these guys who are left, in other words, the sons, Matsi Amarlahu, the Bailim can say to the sons, the Bailim just received the cash compensation, they say, no, listen, I had a relationship with your father. Ki aknoi kfela, when I give over the kfela rights, that's because I had a relationship lavuchain with your father. Nice that you guys paid up, but your father, da'avali Nayach Nafshoi, he did a lot of favors for me. I had a good relationship with him. However, y'all did who? Lo, I'm not going to give you over the kefil rights. Great that you paid, but you don't get the kefil rights for that. Odilmer, maybe Loishna? Makes no difference. Question number five. Shilem le banim. Let's say he paid to the sons, Mahu. So you have the one who paid. The one that he would normally pay to would be the person that he's responsible for, but that person died and he pays to the children. What do we say over there? A O Dilma B. A, do we say, Matsi Amrule, the sons can say, listen, Ki Achni Lach Avuna or Avu, our father Kfela, when he gave you the Kefil rights, that's because the Avdislei Nicha Nafshe, you did favors for him. He did favors for you. Aval Anan us, Ladidan, lo, you didn't do anything for us. We're not beginning to mock the Kefil to you, even though you're paying. Go Dilmer, maybe Loishno, we make no distinctions. How about this? Shilmu Banim Lebanim. Both of the fathers who had originally made this transaction died, and then the sons paid the other sons. So the sons of the ones that are responsible paid the ones that are responsible too. Do they get the kefil rights or they're going to be found? Question number seven. Shilem mechza mai. Let's say, from the outset, he says, listen, I'm going to pay for the whole thing. I'll pay for half of it and no more. What do we say? Does he get half of the potential kefil payment should they come in or not? Question number eight. Sha'al shte parois. He originally borrowed two cows. And then when they're both stolen, v'shilim achas men, he pays for one of them. This is almost like an imtim silemer. If you want to say that he doesn't acquire half, well, how about if he borrowed two cows and they both get stolen? He says, I'll compensate you for one of them. What do we say there? Or question number nine. Shal min hashutfin. Let's say he borrowed a cow from two partners. Vishil Mechem had him paid one of the partners. He paid his full 50% to that partner. What do we say about him acquiring the kefel rights? Shutfin, number 10. Shutfin Shishalu. Let's say you have partners, two people who were Shayel from one person, Vishilem Echad Mehen, one of the two partners pays completely. So does that partner have the rights to the kefil in the future or not? How about this? Question 11. Sha'al min ha'isha. Let's say you have a person who borrowed from a woman, her nichsei maluk, those were assets that she brought into the marriage, where she keeps the principal of the assets, but the payros, let's say if it's an apartment building, the rental checks go to the husband. Vishilim lebal, so borrowed from the woman, but then paid back the value of, let's say it was a cow, to the husband, mahu. What do we say about the acquiring of the kefel rights? Do we say, since, well, the Karen doesn't belong to the husband, so it's not considered a payment that would get him the kefel rights, or since the husband is, after all, the financial overseer of that estate and like he gets the rental checks, he is considered an owner. And then the flip case, which is case 12, the last question, Isha Shesha'ala, if it's a woman who asked to borrow, let's say she needed it for her karka malug, the land that she brought into the relationship, v'shilem ba'ala, and then her husband is the one who paid my. It's basically the same as the previous question, question 11, how do we view the husband with regard to the nechsa malug of his wife? Is he like a owner or is he not? And to that long list of questions, we end with a teiku. The questions remain unresolved, period. Amar Rav Huna, I circled Rav Huna. Rav Huna gives us a one-liner here, and he says, back on the Mishnah, when we said that the person can decide to pay and he doesn't have to swear the shilim, the leratzli shava, okay, fine, he doesn't have to swear the regular shvua, but we still make him take a shvua, mashbiyin oisai, a shvua sheino bereshusai. We make him take a shvua that the item in question is not in his possession. Why do we do that? My taima? Well, it's pretty obvious. Chayshin and Shema ain't of nasan ba. That the item in question that he's got, maybe he, you know, fell in love with it, he likes it, he actually wants to keep it, and he's just going to say, yeah, you know what, it was stolen, yeah, and I'll pay you for it. Maybe he wants to keep it, so we make him take a shvua that he doesn't have it. Meisvei. We have a question on this, on Rav Huna. And I put a long question mark in the margin that goes down to the second line on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. It's quite a question, but here we go. This is a Tanaic source. It goes about 11 or 12 lines, and it starts here. We're going to have the Reisha of the Tanaic source, and we're going to have the Seifa of the Tanaic source. And essentially, the Tanaic source is going to give us four different cases. Here we go. Case number one. Hamalves chaveray ala mashkein, va'avara mashkein. So let's say I'm the lender. I lent out $1,000 to somebody for a mashkein, and then the mashkein got lost. So possibility number one. Va'amar loy, and I, the lender, said, sella hilvi sichel. Let's call a sella $1,000. I lent you $1,000. Sella hilvi sichel for that mashkein. Shekel haya shave. And I'm telling you that mashkin, I'm terribly sorry I lost it, but it was worth 500. A shekel is half of a sella. Okay, well, what does the loiva say? He says, v'hala imer loki, no. Ela sella hivisani. That's right, you did lend me $1,000, but you know how much the mashkin was that I gave you worth? Sella hayashava. In other words, the malva is basically saying you still owe me 500. True, I lent you 1,000, you gave me a mashkin, and the mashkin was worth 500. Okay, fine, I lost it, you owe me 500. The Lova is saying, no, you lent me 1,000, and the thing I gave you as a mashko is worth 1,000, I don't owe you anything, and therefore, the Lova would be putter from having to take a shvua, because he's not admitting anything, he's saying, I don't owe you nothing, comma. Case number two, Sela Hilvi Sicha Alav Shekel Haya Shave. That seems to be similar. So yeah, I lent you $1,000 and this mashkin that you gave me, I lost, I'm terribly sorry, it was worth 500, so you still owe me 500. The Hala Amar and the Lova says, Loki, no. Ela Sela Hilvisani Alav, true, you lent me $1,000, but Shloisha Dinrin Hayashava, it was worth 750, where essentially he's saying, if you lent me $1,000 and the mashkin that I gave you, which you lost, was 750, I still owe you 250, Chayev, then he would have to take a shvua, which is basically a modem mixas, because at the end of the day, the malva is saying, I lent you 1,000, it was worth 500, meaning you stole me 500. The lova is saying, you lent me 1,000, that's right, but it was worth 750, where I stole you 250. Essentially, he's saying, the malva, you owe me still 500. He's saying, no, I owe you 250, which is otherwise known as a modem mixas, and he would have to take a shvua to back up his claim. Slash. Now, this is the seifa, it's going to be the third and fourth cases. In this scenario, the Lova says, listen, Sela Hilvi Sanyalav, true, you lent me $1,000 for that mashkein. Shtayim Hayashav, it was worth $2,000. So you lent me $1,000, I needed $1,000 quick, and I gave you my $2,000, Rolex watch. And therefore, he's basically saying that listen, you lost the watch. Well, then I borrowed 1,000, so you don't owe me that, but you owe me another 1,000 because the watch is worth 2,000. The halam, or what does the malva say? Sorry, Charlie, low key. And in all these cases, they agree what the loan amount was. They just are disagreeing about what the mashkon value was. So he says, yeah, that's true. I lent you $1,000. Selaya shove, and the mashkon game is worth 1,000. Essentially, I don't owe you anything. I lent you $1,000. You gave me a mashkon worth $1,000. I'm sorry, I lost it, but was like even. Whereas the lova is claiming, oh no, you still owe me 1,000 because the mashkon was 2,000. Putzer in that case. It's essentially that the lova is saying, you owe me 1,000. The malva is saying, I don't owe you anything. That's a kofar b'kol, and therefore it'd be putzer. Case number 4. The lova says, Sela hilvi sani alav, you lent me 1,000. Shnayim hayashava, that mashkon I gave is worth 2,000. So you owe me 1,000. Vahala amar, and the malva replies, Loki, no. True. Sela hilvi sich, I lent you $1,000, alav. Chamisha dinrim hayashava, but it was worth 1,250, that mashkon. And therefore, chayiv, because the lova is essentially saying, you'll owe me 1,000. The malva is saying, no, I owe you 250, and that's a mode of mixed case, and therefore he would be chayiv. Semicolon. The Tanakh source continues for another line and a half, and it's not going to be so clear which case the following line and a half is coming to qualify. So let's read it. Minishba. Well, who is the one who takes the shvua? Misha pikadon etzlo. It's the one who has the pikadon, or had it last before it's, you know, it's gone, which is otherwise known as the malva. Shema yishavazeh, because we're very concerned if it's the lova who swears v'yotzi hala, and then the malva will turn around and whip out the pikadon. Now, what's the concern if he whips out the pikadon? Could very well be that the value of it is not like that. Now, compare in this case the malva to the shomer, and it ends up being a question on Rav Huna. First, we have to figure out, though, which case the last line and a half of this price is coming to qualify. We had 4 cases. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, by the way, in case 1, there's no shvua because it said pater. It's only case 2 possibly, or case 4. Now, normally when we have a brisa, and there's a qualification, the qualification is coming to qualify the thing right before it. So, hey, which case is the last line and a half qualification going on? Elema, I squiggle underline the elema over here, and 2 lines later, almost underneath, I squiggle underline the yellow. So if you want to say the qualification of minishba is going on the seifa, I wrote above that number 4, that would be the 4th case, that's the case it, you know, came right after. Well, 1 second. The tepuk lay, no, in that case, the reason that the malva would have to swear is because deshua gabe milvahu. Normally, the malva, the one who lent out the money, doesn't have to swear, but here he does have to swear. Dahakam oidim mixes ataina. The lova saying the thing, you stole me 1,000 because the thing was worth 2,000. He's saying no, it was only worth 1,250, so I only owe you 250. Essentially, the lova saying you owe me 1,000. He's saying I owe you 250. That's the mode of a mixes. That's the reason for him to swear. Ella. So I squiggle under on the ella and underline Shmuel. Amar Shmuel. The qualification at the end of this price is going on the Reisha. Now, Reisha usually means the beginning, which would be case 1. Now, Maya Reisha, what does that mean? In the first case, he's putter from taking a shvua. No one's taking a shvua there. So rather what we mean is a seifa de Reisha, otherwise known as case 2. And here we go. We quote it for 3 lines now. We just re-quote case 2. Sela hilvi sicha alav shekel haya shav. I lent you $1,000. The mashkon, which I'm terribly sorry that I lost, is worth 500. And the lova says, Loki, no, that's not correct. Now, true, Selhil Visani Alav, you did lend me $1,000, but Shlesha Dinner Nayashav is worth 750. Chayav, the lova would have to take a shvua because he's a motive and mixas. Now, that's the end of the quote of the case 2. Dishvua Gabe Loiva Hu. In that case, it seems that the lova is the one who has to take the shvua. Va'amar Rabbanan, and the rabbi said, And this would be the qualification at the end of the brisa, lishava malva, that we're going to make actually the malva swear. Why? Because shema yishava zeh, because if the lova swears, v'yotzi halas ha-pikadon, and the malva whips out the pikadon, and oh my goodness, it's not really worth that much. And that would be the qualification. Now that we've figured out what this qualification is going on, how's it a question of Rav Huna? Because v'im isa, if it's really so, lidra Rav Huna, like Rav Huna said, that we always make the person who had the mashkon swear that it's not bereshusai, Kevin Mishtava Milva, Shana Bereshusa, once he's going to swear that he doesn't have it, Heichi Matzi Mafik, like, how is he going to turn around and whip it out? So why shouldn't the Lova take his Motiv Mixer Shu in case number two? Like, what would be the problem? Any Mirtz Hashem, next time, we will pick up. There's four different approaches to deal with this. Amar Rava, or maybe Rabba, I circled the name. A line and a half later, near the end of the line is Rav Yosef, I circled that. About five lines later, first word of line is Demalva, the next word is Abaye, I circled Abaye. And a line and a half below Abaye is Rav Ashi, I circled Rav Ashi. And Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up with this point next year.